This is The Naked Scientist with Helen Scales and Sarah Castor-Perry, and this week we're talking the science of the oceans. Now, there's little doubt that the increasing level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is already leading to some really worrying impacts on our oceans. The effect of climate change in the marine realm is a huge topic, and there are all sorts of implications and issues to consider. But to get a handle on where we're at, I spoke to John Bruno from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He recently wrote a review in the journal Science, summing up what we currently know about what's going on already and what we might expect to see in the coming years.
It's surprising how quickly this is all happening. I thought I would mostly spend my career warning people about the dangers of future climate change, but it's happening so quickly. I'm actually witnessing it and probably will spend half my career studying it.
So what kind of changes are we seeing happening in the oceans?
So we're seeing first very simple changes. Animals simply dying when the water gets too hot. So corals and many other animals have very specific thermal thresholds. So they can only tolerate temperatures either too warm or too cold to a certain degree. And so, for example, if summertime water temperatures get about a degree Celsius or a little bit more warmer than as usual, that can kill corals. And then, of course, once the corals die, the rest of the reef really degrades because so many fish and invertebrates depend on the corals. But I think the really interesting thing from our review article was how many other more fundamental but in a lot of ways less visible changes are occurring as a result of climate change generally and ocean warming in particular. So it's not as simple as warming happens, animal dies. So that's pretty simple, and that's, I think, what scientists have been looking for and what the public probably expects. But there's far more fundamental changes, for example, in processes. So we know from experimental evidence that things like larval development and metabolism are very sensitive to temperature. It's a very difficult thing to actually measure in the field. But there are some related phenomena from this broader field of science called the metabolic theory of ecology that we are seeing. So, for example, plankton in the North Atlantic are getting smaller, and that's exactly what the metabolic theory of ecology predicts. The warmer the temperature, the smaller the organisms. So we're seeing both phytoplankton, the small plants, and zooplankton, the animals that eat them, getting smaller and smaller. And part of that is selection for smaller individuals within a species, and part of that's the replacement of larger-bodied species by smaller-bodied species.
And we're talking phytoplankton, we're talking changes there are going to ripple all the way through the ecosystems.
That's right. And so those changes might sound not so profound. Okay, so phytoplankton gets smaller. But here's two really big implications. One is that it reduces the efficiency of what's called the carbon pump. And that is the rate at which the ocean ecosystem in the middle of the ocean extracts carbon dioxide and essentially moves it down into the deep water. And that happens when phytoplankton die. They sink down to the bottom, and then that carbon in their bodies effectively gets stored for a long time. And that's a really useful thing for us right now because it's mitigating some of the carbon dioxide that we're putting into the atmosphere. There's another interesting implication for fisheries. So the transfer of energy from one trophic level to another, for example, from plant to herbivore, from herbivore to carnivore, is very inefficient. So only about 10% of the energy from a plant, for example, makes it into the herbivore. And that's true all the way up the food chain. So the smaller the plants are, you end up adding another trophic level to the food chain. And what that does is reduces the biomass and productivity of the species that we're fishing. So we're predicting that we're going to start seeing reduced production of the carnivores that we like to catch and eat.
Which of those things is worrying you the most?
I find the change in species distributions both worrying and also, frankly, quite interesting. So we're seeing rapid range shifts of tropical and temperate species away from the equator into northern waters. So there's really good evidence from long-term monitoring projects that's happening in the North Atlantic, and it's true for phytoplankton and zooplankton, as well as for fish. So again, these tropical species are moving northward as the oceans warm. And a study just came out in the journal PLOS One. It's open access, so anybody can go look for it. It's Faudry et al., 2009. And they had a time series of what fish were present in the northern Gulf of Mexico in the 1970s. And they went back to the same sites and used nets to catch all the fish to figure out what was there now. And really surprisingly, they found that there was about 15 new species that had moved north primarily from coral reefs in the Yucatan Peninsula and had invaded salt marsh and seagrass environments now in the northern Gulf of Mexico. And it's primarily due, we think, to the warming that they've seen there, about 5 to 7 degrees Fahrenheit or 2 to 3 degrees Celsius of warming over the last 30 years. And it's a really interesting phenomena because now a whole new suite of predators and herbivores are being exposed to prey species, both plants and fish. They have no evolutionary history with them. So there's really kind of no coevolutionary history between predator and prey.
So warming oceans are already profoundly mixing up life in the sea as we know it. There's lots to think about there. That was John Bruno, a marine ecologist from the University of North Carolina in the US, telling us a bit more about the visible and the invisible changes we're seeing with climate change in the oceans.